Okay, Boker Tov. We're holding Kuf Yud Zayin on the base. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Ches. We left off at Tana Rabbanan around 16, five lines up from where the lines start to get wide, around 15, 16 lines up at the bottom of the page. We're up to Tana Rabbanan just to get our bearings. We had the Mishnah, when it talks about saving from a fire, food. The Mishnah says one's allowed to save food for Shalosh Shudas, muzzin of three meals. The Gemara asks, why only three meals? Food is not muktzah. And presumably, I'm not sure if you mentioned yesterday, presumably you're talking about a case where he's saving it to a place where there's an Erev. So why not save as much food as possible? And the Mara answered that Adam Bal HaMamayne, a person scared about his money, a person loses himself over his Mamayne, and if we allow him to save whatever he can, he's going to end up putting out the fire itself. So in order to, and by the same talk we had earlier in the Masechet, according to the Rishonim, that if we don't allow him to save anything, also it could lead to him putting out the fire. So we the Chazal allowed him this in-between amount that he needs for the rest of Shabbos, and that's it. And it stopped his ability after three Sudas. We spoke out, Agav, the Gemara about saving wine, a broken barrel of saving wine, also saving animals that fell into a pit, on Yom Tov, taking them out to use them, to shech them on Yom Tov, you'll have a shech to Yom Tov. And we spoke about potentially doing harama, doing a little trick to save as much wine as possible, inviting guests, or doing a trick to save both animals, if there's multiple animals that fell into a pit, by contemplating which, thinking you're going to shecht one, and then deciding you're going to shecht the other one. So we spoke about whether that's permissible. That's what we left off with yesterday. So Agamar is going to continue on this conversation about saving food for Shabbos, and then continue on to the source that we need three meals for Shabbos, and then get into really a whole bunch of Agadah of extolling the virtues of one who's makbet on Einik Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos, and makbet on Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, the whole Amud Beis, with more of Agadah on the virtues of Shal Shudas, Shabbos, and then onto general virtues that people, Tanaim Amram did, and why they deserve Chelek for their wonderful deeds. It starts off with Shabbos and moves on to other topics as well. Let's see. Tanavan. Hitzel pas nekiya, ein matzel pas adra. If he saved bread of nekiya, fine flour, then he cannot go and then afterwards save from the fire bread of like a more shvacher flour. Because once he has the good bread, he's not going to eat the other inferior bread. So then he wouldn't be allowed to. He's clearly just saving to save extra, and that's not allowed. However, pas adra, matzel pas nekiya. If he saved first the bread of the shvacher flour, the not so chashva bread, he could still have a desire to prefer to eat the better bread, and therefore he's allowed to go and save. Then he could then be matzah pas nekiya. He could save afterwards pas nekiya. When matzima kippur on the Shabbos, one is allowed to save food in Yom Kippur for the Shabbos. If Kippur is on Friday and the fire breaks out, he can save food for Shabbos as well. Avlim Shabbos Yom Kippur, but he cannot save food on Shabbos for Yom Kippur. Let's say Yom Kippur fell out on Sunday. He can't save food on Shabbos. Obviously, Yom Kippur we don't eat. It means for the breaking the fast on Sunday night. He can't save food on Shabbos for Matzah Yom Kippur, because again, this goes to the idea that Shabbos is more chashav than Yom Kippur. Vein zerach leim, I don't have to tell you, Shabbos Yom Tov, then Shabbos the Shabbos Abba. I don't have to tell you that you cannot save food from one Shabbos, from Shabbos for Yom Tov. That's the next day. And also from Shabbos to Shabbos, which one would think that Shabbos to Shabbos, you're saving food on Shabbos for another Shabbos, that should be okay. The answer over there, since there's 6 days of week in between, there's plenty of time, even as unfortunate as the situation is with the fire, there's plenty of time to find and seek out new food, and therefore he's not allowed to save food from Shabbos even for the next Shabbos. Tarabon. Shachapas patana, if a person forgot the bread in the oven, v'kiddush lo v'yayim, and now became Shabbos, so the bread is baking in the oven, he left it there, and now it's became Shabbos, and if he leaves it there, it's going to burn. So he needs to quote, save the, he's essentially saving the bread from the fire. How much could he save? Matzilim mazon shalosh shudas. If he forgot to take the bread out of the oven before Shabbos, he's only going to save enough bread for three meals. But you know what he could do? He could tell his friends, you also, if you want Shabbos food, come take from my oven. Come save this food and use it for your Shabbos food as well. Because you're ready then when you're taking it out of the oven, layer the mirda elbazak. And you shouldn't take it out with the typical utensil used by the bakers. It's like a paddle used by the bakers to take the bread out of the oven, off the oven walls. Rather, you should do it with a sack. And the Mara's going to elaborate on this act. Eini, vatan be bishmal. Don't do any malacha. That's of course the poster law for all the 39 malachas of Shabbos. That excludes, it's not included in this malacha, is tkiya shayfer, blowing shayfer, redias apas, and removing bread for the walls of the oven, which is not a malacha, rather it's a chachma. And therefore those are not included in malacha. So why, taka, is there any issue of taking off the bread from the walls of the oven with a paddle? Says the Markham, because as much as it's possible to change from the normal mahalach, we change. Rashi and Ran explain, this is talking about the classic, you say the classic Isser Shabbos of Uvdidachel. We try to refrain from the regular weekday activities on Shabbos as much as possible, using the regular kli used during baking, during the the week is considered uvda d'chol, and we try to refrain from that on Shabbos. But there's a very interesting psak from the Ran. So again, Rashi and the Ran both say this idea of uvda d'chol. Ran adds, what if the person doesn't have a knife to remove the bread from the oven, or the knife's not going to work for some reason in this case. So he's allowed to use this baker's utensil, his paddle, to remove it, even though we said it's a problem of the chol. Since without it, the bread's going to burn, he won't have bread, so he's allowed to use it. Explains that the Mishnah Berurah elaborates, but this is Berurah halacha, the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Reish Nun Dalad, Sif Katan Hay, and the Mishnah Berurah explains that a big yisayid. Uvda d'chol, he says, is not a shvas gomer. Uvda d'chol is gzer d'abanon, things that resemble weak activity, it's asa mid d'abanon on Shabbos, but it's not considered like a regular shvus. It's not as chomer as a regular shvus. And therefore, it doesn't mean we're just willy-nilly with it, that we're very lenient, and therefore, when it comes to tzayrich Shabbos, this bread is being used for Shabbos. When it comes to tzayrich Shabbos, and you can't be Mishana, you're allowed to be lenient with this idea of the d'chol, and one could be more mekel and do an act that be considered of the d'chol. But again, only when it's the tzayrich Shabbos are we mekel with the of the d'chol, because the fact of the d'chol is not as chomer as a regular shvus. Okay, Amar Rav Chisda. Okay, Amar Rav Chisda, Leil Miashkim Adam Laitzi Shabbos. A person should get up early to prepare food for Shabbos. Nemar Vayabi Amashishi Beichinos Hashaviyu. It says the pasuk, it was on the sixth day they prepare that which they bring in the altar. What is going on over there? It's talking, of course, about the gathering of the man. The gathering of the man, the Kaisa got a double portion on Friday, and the pasuk says they went out to gather the man. They went early in the morning, and it says Veichinu, they should prepare Eitz Sheviyu. So Rashi explains, and the Merle says Laltar. Rashi explains, we're putting together the words Veichinu Eitz Sheviyu, just like they brought it in the morning, like the pasuk says, Vyukatu Baker, they gather in the morning. So the Veichinu also took place in the morning. So the preparation for Shabbos should be done already Friday morning. There should be preparation for Shabbos. Shechad Aruch in Archaim and Simon Peites, it brings a general halacha that before davening, one is not allowed to attend to his personal needs, including, let's say, the Gemara, it's really based on the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yadal, we had not too long ago, that a person should not be doing any of his personal affairs before davening. He shouldn't be eating, let's say, shouldn't be eating before davening, shouldn't be even being busy. The Gemara discusses over there, even learning, when Machlekes Rashi Teis, about learning before davening, which is what we're doing right now. If you remember, we had the Machlekes over there in Rashi Teis, is whether even learning before davening, Veltas, of course, knowing that it's permissible, but even learning before davening is a discussion whether one's allowed to do that. But certainly, one's personal needs, which the place can bring, includes shopping, going shopping, taking care of personal business, is usher before davening. However, the place can bring an exception based on this Gemara Vechinus Sheviyu. We're saying early in the morning to prepare for Shabbos is a mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah to prepare for Shabbos if it includes shopping even before davening. One can't do that when it comes to Shabbos prep. Another example the place can bring is, let's say that his children need, before they go to the cheder, before they go to school in the morning, they need breakfast, so they need milk, you need bread, whatever it may be is needed. That purchasing is in order to support learning Torah. That purchasing also is permissible even before davening. So Chashu Chemet, the Reb Zilberstein Shlita, actually has a Geshmak HaShayla. Once I'm in the store and I'm doing shopping in a hetetik oifin, lekavet Shabbos, or lekavet being the kids their breakfast, can I buy something else which is not needed for Shabbos or for breakfast? Or do we say, no, you can't tend to your own needs before davening? So he paskins that since it's not lechayr tirchi, it's not a big deal. Once I'm in the store, obviously if you take a whole big shopping list for general shopping, maybe that would be problematic, but if you're in the store and you want to grab something else while you're there, even though it's not Shabbos related, it's not considered an extra tirch, an extra act, and therefore he says that would be permissible. But again, the overall heter of shopping for Shabbos, so taking of Shabbos needs before davening, comes from this Gemara, which extols the importance of preparing for Shabbos early Friday morning already. Amar Baba, b'Shabbos chayav adam mutzayi ashek kikar, is a person supposed to break bread on Shabbos over two loaves? Tzichsiv lecha mishna, it says lecha mishna, right? On Friday morning, we got lecha mishna again by the pasuk by the man. Amar Vashi chazin leilav kana drakat tarti ubatzachadai. So Rav Kana would actually take two loaves, but he only break one. So he'd pick up two loaves to be yaitz of the lecha mishna, but he only broke one. Amar, he said, luck two, the pasuk says luck two. They gathered a double portion, but doesn't say they broke a double portion. They gathered a portion. So by picking up two, the person is being mekayim, so to speak. He's gathering a double portion, but he's not actually breaking a double portion. Reb Zeira havi batza kula shirusa. Reb Zeira would break off a piece big enough for the whole meal. He'd break off a piece, and back when they used to eat a lot of bread, bread was a big part of the meal. So breaking off a piece of bread big enough for the whole meal is a very large piece. And Rashi explains, Rambam seems to say the same, that it was being done the Kavod Shabbos to show an excitement for the meal of Kavod Shabbos. So instead of taking a small piece and then out a small piece later, he'd take a big piece at the beginning to show his excitement for the Suda, for the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. He looks like a Rav Nusa. Looks like a glutton grabbing such a big piece of bread. Says Amar Amalei, Since every day he doesn't eat that way, he doesn't grab these big pieces, this big piece, and only on Shabbos does he grab this big piece, so clearly he chose not doing it because of being a glutton. He's doing out covet Shabbos. If this sounds familiar, it should. We just had 2 days ago, the Mara said about the people lowering the begadim on Shabbos to look like aristocrat, look like chashuvim. So they used to wear the begadim instead of lifting them up, like laborers lift up the begadim, lift up their long shirts, the long cloaks. They used to lower them down, look covet Shabbos to look like, everyone should look like aristocrats. Ilachar looks like guy. So he said, since all week they don't dress that way and they only do it on Shabbos, therefore again it's clear it's covered Shabbos, not an issue. We point out some people actually specifically wear, let's say, up hats or fracks or different types of begadim, specifically longer begadim on Shabbos. Agav, the Rashba here says that this Gemara is not the way Rashi and Rambam explained it, which is that we're talking about Rav Zera breaking a big piece of bread for the whole meal. This goes back to the Gemara we had before about the discussion about whether when you pick up two loaves of bread, the Chamishnah, do you break both loaves of bread? And we're saying Rav Zera would break a piece of both loaves. He would cut through both loaves of bread. That is how Rashba learns its continuation, that he broke both loaves of bread, and therefore the Sefer Eretz Tzvi brings the Maisa. This is what we do, that a person should not just pick up two loaves of bread and put it on the table for Shabbos. He should hold the two loaves of bread during the bracha, even if we're not going to be kind to Rashba, and cut through both loaves, at least by holding two loaves of bread during the bracha. We're getting as close as possible to the Rashba of having both loaves involved, which is what we do, having both loaves involved in the bracha. There's actually a very interesting Gayan. He explains a Zayar. The Zayar brings the person supposed to have 12 loaves of bread on Shabbos. Who has 12 loaves of bread on Shabbos? Where is it coming from, 12 loaves? We know we have three meals, and each meal you have two loaves of bread. Where do you get to 12? Says the Gayan, it's this Gemara, again like the Rashba. If you go like the Rashba, then you're cutting through both pieces of bread, both loaves of bread, by every meal, you're cutting through both loaves. So if you cut through, every loaf you cut through becomes like two halves. So if you have two loaves each meal and you cut right through them when you make a bracha, you end up with four pieces of bread by each meal, times four big pieces. Obviously, you can cut into more pieces, but four, you're automatically having a minimum of four sections of bread by each meal. Four times three meals is 12 loaves of bread, is 12 bread. So it's not 12 full loaves, it's 12, it's six full loaves, 12 half loaves. That's how the Gain explains the Zayar of 12 loaves on Shabbos. Okay, says Gemara, again, based on Rashba's interpretation of Gemara about cutting through both loaves as opposed to Rashi and Ramban. Okay, says Gemara, Ami Ravasi, Avi Mikla, Rav Amir Vasi, when they got to the bread of Eir Chatzeris, when it came in front of them, Sharyalu, they specifically make a mitzi on Shabbos on that bread. Why? By the way, just a key point, the bread of Erev Chatzeris, once Shabbos starts and you have the river Chatzeris, that bread doesn't have to last through the whole Shabbos in order to be able to carry in the Chatzah throughout Shabbos. Once it was there when Shabbos started, you eat the bread and you carry the rest of Shabbos. Right? Once it was there when Shabbos started, it's fine. So now, they would purposely use it when they realized this bread was over chaseres, they would use it to make a mitzvah of lecha mishnah on Shabbos. Amri, since one mitzvah was done with this, let's do another mitzvah with this. This concept is actually found many places in Shas. Once one mitzvah is done with it, let's do another mitzvah. The most popular case that I think, I shouldn't say most popular, but one of the more popular cases is using the lulav as firewood to actually, it's commonly used to as fire to help burn the chametz, but what's actually brought down in the Shulchan Aruch is using the firewood for baking matzah. The Rambam is using it as fire for baking matzahs. The Torah says actually the hadas of lulav, taking the hadasim of the lulav and using it for besamim on Matzah Shabbos. There's other examples as well, but the concept is once something is used for a mitzvah, chaparayin, another, something more beautiful to use it to chaparayin, another mitzvah, the same item. Ketzad says the Mishnah, the Gemara's quote in the Mishnah says if a fire broke out, he saves enough food for three meals on Shabbos. Ketzad, enough like, as we spoke out, if it's Friday night, three meals. Shabbos morning, two meals, and Shabbos afternoon, one meal, basically based on how many meals he has left, that's how much he's allowed to save from the fire. So basically, our Gemara seems to indicate that how many meals one's supposed to have on Shabbos? Three. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. However, there is a time that argues says that a person is supposed to have four meals on Shabbos. Tana Banim. How many meals a person mechuyev to have on Shabbos? Shalish, three meals, one at night, two by day. Rav Chita, we actually pointed out also, we made the Mishnah yesterday, that's very clear that it's divided up, that one at night, two by day, based on the way the Mishnah describes of the timing of when the fire breaks out, how many meals he has left. It seems pretty clear. It's dafka, one at night, and two by day. Okay. Rav Chita argues, that's arba. He says four meals, one at night, and three by day. And the Marzit, they're both the same source. Amar Beichlan, Shneim Kerech Darsha, they both Darsha the same source for having three or four meals. The word Hayyim is the key word of here. Echlu Hayyim, Kishabas Hayyim, Lashem, Hayyim, Lashem, Sipsa. The Pasuk says the word Hayyim three times. So they both agree, it says Hayyim three times. Question is, when are these three meals? Rav Chita says, Hani, Tlasa Hayyim, Levar Meirta. Rav Chita says, it means three meals on Shabbos day. Imagine on a short winter Shabbos day, very difficult. It's difficult to have two meals sometimes if you don't pace yourself. Certainly three. But you're supposed to have three meals on Shabbos day, excluding, aside from, of course, the meal you have Friday night. Rabbanan didn't first discuss what's the source of chitka of a chiv of a meal Friday night. Okay. Rabbanan savar habahadi urta. Rabbanan say, no, it means three, including the night. Three meals including the night meal. So you have a meal at night and two more meals by day, which is, of course, overnight. Says the Mormon speaking of Ryan, the Machlekes, who our Mishnah goes like. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Nafud Leik, B'lel Shabbos, if a fire falls out on Friday night, Tapav, Kufi, Chas, and Aleph, Matzilim, Mazel, Shal, Shudis, Lada, Say, Mazel, three Sudas. My love, Leachel, are we talking about the meal, the fire broke on Friday night? He hasn't eaten yet, and therefore, you let it save the meal, you let it save three meals worth of food, it's a right to Rabbanan, our Mishnah, Rabbanan, not like Rav Chitka, because otherwise you'd be saying four meals. Lay Dachel, we're talking about where Rav Chitka will deflect, that we're talking about where he already ate a meal, since he already ate one of the Friday night meal, so he's saving three meals for Shabbos day. Shachris, again, the same right for the Mishnah. Shachris, Mishnah says if the fire broke out, Shachris in the morning, Matzilim and Shesudas, he's allowed to save for two meals worth. Why only two meals? According to Chitka, it should be three meals. My love, Leachel, are we talking about where he has not yet eaten the morning meal and was still only saving two meals for Shabbos day? Is a riot to the Rabbanan. The Mishnah goes to the Rabbanan, not like Chitka. Says Gemara, Loi, the Achal, we already ate the Shabbos morning meal, so he's already eaten two of the meals, Friday night and Shabbos morning, and therefore he only has two meals left, according to Rav Chitka, and that's what he's saving for two meals, and not a raya against Rav Chitka. Again, by Mincha Batzilan, Mazel to Dachas, we said by Mincha time, if the fire broke out by Mincha time, he saves Mazel for one meal. My love, Loi Achal. Are we again talking about a case where he hasn't eaten yet the third meal, so he's only allowed to save for one more meal, not two more meals like Rav Chitka? Lo, Achal, we already ate the third meal and he's saving for the last and final fourth meal. In fact, Gemara of Amitani Sefer, but look at the Sefer Rabbi Yosi when he argues. If you remember the end of the Mishnah, he says, I don't care what point the Shabbos it is, you're always allowed to save three meals. So that number, what where's number three come from? Rabbi Yosi, I'm Leila Matzil Mazel Shal Shudas. So Mar says, you're right. For the fact that Rabbeisi stresses, no matter, Rabbeisi is just arguing that it's almost like a svar of hayil, that once I'm allowed to have three meals on Shabbos, it doesn't make a difference at which point of Shabbos I'm saving the food, I can only save three meals. But where does number three come in? What's three? Three makes sense if you hold that's the amount of food you're supposed to have on Shabbos. But if the Tanakhama was arguing also, and held you're supposed to have four meals on Shabbos, Rabbeisi is arguing not only about when you can save the meals, he's also arguing about how many meals, not Mestaver. It's Mestaver that they both agree that three is the amount of meals. The question just is, at what point can you save how many meals? Rabbeisi is saying the whole Shabbos, I can say three meals. And Tanakam is saying only if I have three meals after Shabbos. The Mishnah says, you're right. Our Mishnah, clearly, the simple reading of our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanan and the Smachlekes, and not, and Taka, not like Rabbi Chitka. Our simple reading does not go like Rabbi Chitka, that there's a chiv to have four meals. Says the Mara of Hadatan, Mishesh, just Agav, this is really not relevant to this line of Gemara at all, but just to remind us, I spoke it out the other day, but it's a Kedai to speak out again. This Sugya that we're discussing, really, this whole Perek, we're discussing what one's allowed to save from a fire on Shabbos, from a house on Shabbos, and we got into yesterday, Adam Baal Mamaynai. So even if we say a person's not allowed to actually go and put out the fire be a dayim, that's talking about in a case where there's no suffix of pekuach nefesh, where there's no concern of pekuach nefesh, therefore a person can't be involved in putting out the fire. Remember, we spoke about putting out the fire itself is really, I don't want to minimize, but it's at best it's your abanan, right? It's not a full malacha. You're not doing it for the purpose of creating a wick or creating coals. That's the constructive act of kibui. This is a kibui just to be minea damage, and therefore at the very best it's only your abanan. And if there's any suffix of pekuach nefesh, for sure a person would be allowed to either put out the fire. Certainly, probably the smartest thing to do is often also to call as quickly as possible local fire department or get people involved to help put out the fire. And in our situations where we live, in most places where there's homes that are close to each other, even if they're not so close, there's trees in between, there's ways the fire could spread and it could lead to pekuach nefesh. The pashta says a person's obligation would be to actually get involved in putting out the fire and not be busy with these halachah lemaisa, with only saving these minimal amount of things. Rather, his job would be, again, in many cases, it's too dangerous for a person to be involved. He needs to get out and just call the fire department, of course. But the point is, even that, getting busy with arranging the fire to be put out is his obligation, not just a heter or kula. It's his chiv, because it would be considered 100% a situation of pekuach nefesh. I just want to point it out, because we keep talking about minimizing what he's allowed to save, what he's allowed to do. It's only in a case where you literally know I'm not sure if he's living in Israel, isolation, but you literally know it's only this, there's no suffik ruach nefesh, and it's only a monetary discussion. That's where we have these halachas. Okay. A person who has enough food for two meals, shnayif in the tamchoy. Tamchoy, that's like the soup kitchen. He shouldn't even the soup kitchen. That as long as he has enough food for two meals, that's a day's worth of food. He shouldn't go to the soup kitchen until he's out of that. What about taking money from general stock of money? Mazan arba asui leitam la kupa. If he has 40 meals, which is a week's worth of meals, he shouldn't take from the kupa box, from the charity box. There's two different things. One is taking from the soup kitchen, and one is taking money from the charity box. Soup kitchen, if he has enough meals for the two meals, one full day's meal, he can't take. Charity box, being entitled to money for the charity box, if he has enough food for a week, 14 meals, he can't take food. Now that fits like no one. Why? Because according to Rabbanan, where the average regular person obviously has two meals a day, but Shabbos, the Rabbanan say you need three meals, and according to Chitka, you need four meals. So it should be either 15 meals a week for the Rabbanan, or 16 meals a week for Rav Chitka. Says Amara, Mani, the Rabbanan, Rav Chitka, that Mishnah doesn't look like the Rabbanan, like Rav Chitka. According to Rabbanan, it should be 15 meals, Rav Chitka, Shis Sri Havi. It should be 16 meals. La'ilam, Rabbanan, the Mara says, really, it's Rabbanan, and Darmin and Levi tell the person, my debas the Mechaba, Puke Shabbosa, Achle Bishabasa. We tell him that which you're going to eat, a matzah Shabbos for your meal. Apparently, the Gemara is, I don't want to say it's dismissing Lav Malka, but that's what you're going to eat, supper. A matzah Shabbos, make that your third meal of Shabbos. Eat it earlier, and therefore 14 meals is still enough that a person is already considered he has enough meals for a week, and he shouldn't go to the kupa of staka. Leim Rabbanan v'leim chitra. The person says, okay, fine. So you'll be able to answer according to Rabbanan how you squeeze in three meals of Shabbos into the 14 meals. But Rav Chitka has four meals, that's clearly shouldn't work. That the 14 meals shouldn't be enough for the week. Answer the Marno, if you tell Rav Chitka, even Rav Chitka could work how, that which you can eat on Friday afternoon, save it for the evening, for the night meal on Friday. But then he's supposed to, so the person's supposed to fast on Friday. That can't be the pshat. It doesn't make sense that we make him fast, that the person is expected to fast on Friday in order to have his four meals on Shabbos. By the way, when we're saying that which is supposed to eat on Friday, you move it to Shabbos, to Friday night, that's in addition to that which he's supposed to eat about the Shabbos, move earlier to Shabbos day. He does both, on both sides. That's how he squeezes in two extra meals over the 24 hours of Shabbos, by taking an extra meal from Matzah Shabbos and an extra meal from Friday. But the Gemara says, then he's mamish fasting on Friday. El Hamani, Rabbi Kivi, the Amar, Asay Shabbat Tuchov, Al Tetzuk Rabbiyas. The Gemara says that no, that it's, we cannot make Rav Chitka feel like this Mishnah. And once we're saying Rav Chitka can't be like the Mishnah, we actually could say that even the Rabbanim that we're trying to squeeze in to be like the Mishnah by saying, you're eating the Matzah Shabbos meal, Shal Shudas, the Gemara is falling off that now. And the Gemara is saying, you said from Rabbi Kivi, this Mishnah Fitzak Rabbi Kivi, who says that when it comes to taking money from Staka, a person should make Asay Shabbat Tuchov, a person should make his Shabbos chayil, make his Shabbos weekday, meaning not be mekayim the three meals according to Rabbanan, or the four meals according to Rav Chitka, if it's dependent on him coming onto the kahal. If he has to come onto tzedakah, if he's mistarech lebrius, he needs to come onto the help of the brius. He should not be eating his three or four meals. He should go back to the regular hanag of the veld, even though he's obviously relying on the brius, and he should be satisfied. He should only have two meals. It's a famous idea right in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah brings it and discusses back and forth about when we apply this, when we don't apply it, because of course it's also important to have Aini and Kavach Shabbos as much as possible, but still when it comes to being dependent on others, a person should rather make a Shabbos Chayil, not have the full three or four meals, than depend on others. Very interesting, almost sad, Torah. The Torah writes that many times he asked his father, the Torah's father obviously was the Rush. Many times he asked his father, the Torah's clearly from this story was very poor. He asked his father, what is this Geder? When do I meet the criteria of a Seh Shabbat Chayil Vazach Labias? Because apparently, I guess he was very poor and he needed help, and he was wondering if he's from that category, then he shouldn't be eating three meals on Shabbos because he's dependent on other people because he's very poor. And he said, my father never gave me a clear answer. He said, many times I asked my father, he never gave me a clear answer what that madriga of poverty is, that I should be considered I'm being mitzarech lebrius too much, and I should be asay Shabbat l'chol. Again, chas v'shalom doesn't mean to melach on Shabbos, just means don't do the proper full kiyum, full covered. I'm not sure what was so unclear about the amounts. I mean, it's two meals, three meals. You're not supposed to take for others for that extra meal. I'm not sure what the nekud of the shayla was, but it's nonetheless, he said that this gemara was troublesome to him exactly what the madrig is, and he asked his father, he never got a clear answer. Says the gemara, the other tan, a person should not give a poor person Shabbos place less than a loaf of bread that costs a punyan a loaf of bread that costs a bunion, when 4 sells of flour costs a sella. That's if a person's traveling. Lon, if he stays overnight, nice like parnasas lina, we give him parnasas lina, which means like a bed and a pillow. Vim Shabbos, if he stays for Shabbos, nice like mazon shalosh shudas. Give mazon shalosh shudas. Again, leman rabbanim v'leik v'chidka. Isn't this right? That's rabbanan, not v'chidka. So chari, because it's right, you only have 3 sudas, not 4 sudas. No, leman v'chidka could go like his mishnah as well. Going to ikasuda v'hadei. We talk about where he came. He's traveling with a meal. So we give him 3 meals in addition to his meal. So he now has 4 meals for Shabbos. Eat the one that you bring with you, the travel meal that you have with you, plus 3 more, you have 4 meals for Shabbos. In fact, in 1 second, he travels with a meal, always as like a safety net. So yeah, whenever you give him food, he eats the one he has with him, and now he's always keeping 1 meal as a provision, just to be safe. Are you going to send him home empty-handed now? If he eats all his meal, plus the 3, he eats all 4 meals, now he's leaving with no food. Says No. Of course, when he leaves, we give him another meal. We just mean, while he's here, we give him 3 in addition to what he has. My pronounce is lean, what's pronounce lean mean? I'm a papa, pray beside you, like we spoke of before, a bed and a pillow. That's the paranoia for sleeping. If a person uses the plates Friday night, you let it wash them, rinse them to use them Shabbos morning. It's not considered a chana because you need them on Shabbos itself. Plates that you use on Shabbos morning, he's allowed to wash them to eat on them in the afternoon. But even that which you use in the afternoon, as long as he's going to eat by mincha time, he can use those as well. But once it's mincha on, he can't wash those plates because they're no longer needed for Shabbos, and therefore it's really a chana cleaning for after Shabbos. That's a problem. So you put them in the sink, or put them in a, you cover them, put them in a dishwasher. There's discussion about when if a person has a small house, small kitchen, and it's disgusting, it's not comfortable to be in a house full of dirty dishes, is that also considered a heter? Because you're not doing a chana for later, you need to be clean for now, that's a certain side. But most of the place would say, in most cases, you should be able to just cover the sink and leave the dirty dishes there and not clean them on Shabbos if its only usage is for a month of Shabbos. Avokaisis, vikinias, vitzuchas, when it comes to drinking utensils, cups, spoons for drinking, pitchers, those are very common to you. A person drinks all day long throughout the day, and therefore, that you can wash all day. There's no limit, there's no set time for drinking, eating is set time, but drinking people do it any time, and therefore, it always can be necessary, and therefore, one's allowed to wash them on Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Shimon Pazi, I'm Rabbi Shimon Levi, now we start to get to really the Agadita element of Shalosh Shuddis. Whoever is Makayim Shalosh Shuddis on Shabbos is saved from Shalosh Pranias, he's saved from the 3 Pranias, which 3 Pranias? He's saved from Mechevle Mashiach. Medina shel Gehenim u'mechemes kagamagli. You say from Mechev and Mashiach, the pains of when Mashiach comes, the Din of Gehenim and the Mechev and Gagamagag. And what's the source? All 3 of the sources are going to be from the Pasuk of Hayyim. By the way, we didn't point that before, but Pashtas Argamar seems to be saying Hayyim is like this real drasha, a real drasha teraisa of having 3 meals on Shabbos. Hayyim, Hayyim, Hayyim. Is this discussion, is it really in a drasha teraisa, or is it just an asmachta? It is a discussion in the Mefarshim. Mechev and Mashiach, how do you say Mechev and Mashiach? Kesiv Acha Yayim, it says over Yayim, Kesiv Asam, it says over there by Mechev and Mashiach, Hine Nechashlech Lechemes Elion Avi, Lefne Bay Yayim Hashem, Vidilish Gehenim, because Kesiv Acha Yayim, again says Yayim of Yer, Kesiv Asam, Yayim of Evra, Yayim Evra, says always refers to a day of anger, refers to a day of first Gehenim, and it says the word Yayim over there. Mechev and Gagamanga also says the word Yayim, Kesiv Yayim Hach, says Hach Yayim, says Hach Yayim by Shabbos again, Kesiv Asam, Be Yayim by Gaig. The day Gaig comes, so says the word Yayim with regard to Gagamanga, with regard to Gehenim, with regard to Chavim Mashiach, and therefore the Yayim of Shabbos connect to him. We say a person who is makbid on Shalosh Shudas, which is learned from the 3 times it says Hayayim, a person who is makbid on Shalosh Shudas is saved from these three pains. Whoever is ma'anik Shabbos, whoever makes einik in Shabbos, he's granted a nachla without any limits. Like Shenemar, he says the pasuk, us is anik al Hashem, when you miss anik on Hashem, then you'll be given a nachla of that reaches the heights of the world. And I'll give you, says the Mar top of Ambeis, Nachlas Yaakov Avicha. I'll give you a Nachla Vechalticha, I'll feed you like the Nachla of Yaakov Avicha. The Mar explains, like Avram Bavinu, Shekasabai, it says, Kumasalech Barz, La'arkal Rachba, which is huge, the whole land, walk the land, the width and the length, but still it's measured, the width and the length of the land. Like Yitzchak Shekasabai, Kilichal Zarachat Etan, as Kalat Asael, I'll give you all these lands, again, vast amount of promise that was given to Avram Yitzchak, but still it has some sort of, it's still limited. El is a Gvul, there's still a boundary. El Kiyakov Shekasabai, Rather, you're going to get the Nachla like Yaakov, where it says, Ufras, you'll burst out east, west, north, south. You burst out all directions without any Nachla, without any Gvul, Mitzarim, no limit. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Nitzel Meshiba Galus, he's also saved from the Shiba Galus, from being in Galus, from the Shiba of Galus, you'll trample on their high places, you'll trample on their high places, you save from the, that's actually the Pasuk that Mordechai said when he stepped on Haman to get onto the horse. By Kach Yaslish, he said, Haman said, Why are you Mordechai gave him like a little bit of a kick? Why are you kicking me? I says v'alavecha tismach. So Mordechai said about you. It says ata and the same besidrech. You should tread on their high places. That's why I'm giving you a kick. I'm treading on your high places. So that's over here also. Was saying that there's no sheba golis for a person who keeps the shalosh shudas. Amar vidam rav. Come ani gets a shabbos nesli mishalos liba. Whoever is ani shabbos, he gets mishalos liba. He should remember. He said the signing Hashem. He should be signing Hashem. Same lashon. V'itin the chav mishalos lebecha. You'll be granted mishalos lebecha. Einig zayni demahu. What does it mean v'sanag Hashem? Who? How you know it's referring to Shabbos? Because you're aiming for Kosh Shabbos. Einig. The pasuk says Kosh Shabbos. That's the pasuk quoted earlier about the pasuk Yishayo about Mitzvei Chavetzecha v'Dabr Davar. So the pasuk over there says lashon of Kosh Shabbos. Einig Yishev. That's the source we said the rabbinic source for Einig Shabbos and Kavet Shabbos. It says both v'chibadai and it says Kosh Shabbos Einig. So we see over there talking about Shabbos and it says the word Einig. So we say Havem is the Einig Shabbos. The Einig of Sanag Hashem is also referring to Einig of Shabbos. Kama by Mem Angai. How is one Einig Shabbos? Ravida Raid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Rav Amar Betafshas Shatratim V'Dagim G'daylam Rosh Hashuman. Fancy, very delicious dishes. It literally means cooked beets, large fish, big cloves of garlic. But it says whatever was considered delicacies back then, nice foods. That's the meaning of Einig Shabbos. Ki Rashi Amar Amarav. I feel Davar Mut Kavet Shabbos Asu. It doesn't have to be something fancy or big. Even if something small, but it's done specifically for Shabbos. That's the idea of the notion of keeping food specifically for Shabbos. Is actually we mentioned in the past, but there's a concept of saving foods also specifically for Shabbos day. There's no discussion what's supposed to be the Ikar Meal Shabbos Friday night or Shabbos day. But according to some of the Pesach, the Ikar Kavod Shabbos is actually specifically the meal Shabbos day, and therefore Shlomo Miller, I heard this from Shlomo Miller Shlita, that one should not be eating chalent Friday night. Even not by the meal, and certainly not by the meal. Maybe outside the meal is a little better, but not by the meal, because it's a food which is designated specifically for the covet of Shabbos, for the covet of the Shabbos morning meal, and taking the Iker hot food, the Iker Cham food of Shabbos morning meal, and already having it Friday night, it would be diminishing from the covet of, again, now we're going within the meals of Shabbos, but from the covet of the Shabbos day meal, and therefore he says it's not a proper practice. I'm not saying all agree to this, just an interesting psak from Mishlema, but again, just to this point of doing something specific for Shabbos, even if it's not so chash of the food, it's that specification for Shabbos that is considered Kavod Shabbos. And the example the Gemara brings is Harbeis Ani is Ani Mahi. I'm Rav Papa Kiris Taharsana. Kiris Taharsana was like this little fish, breaded fish. This little fish in, that was fried, like breaded fried fish. As long as you're doing it specifically for Shabbos, someone's meaning to eat herring dafka by a Shabbos meal, so that's considered special for Shabbos. It doesn't have to be the most special food per se. It's special for Shabbos. That's considered Ani Shabbos. I'm Rav Chibam. I'm Rav Yechanan. Come Shabbos, Shabbos Kachasai. Whoever watched Shabbos Kachasai, I feel even if I did Zara, unbelievable. Kedar Ani Shemaychalai. Even if it's Zara. Like Dar Enish. Dar Enish is considered, that was like the original Dar, the original Eved Vedazar, they're like the originators. So even if he's Eved Vedazar, like Dar Enish, Meichlin Lai, he gets Mechila. Shenemar Ashvi Enish, Enish, Yasazais, Mechalai, Altake Mechalai, Elamachalai, gets a Mechila for those that he keeps Shabbos. Very interesting, the Maran Yuma says that the Avera of Chil Hashem, which obviously Vedazar was included in Chil Hashem, the person could do Tshuva, has to do Tshuva, and eventually he gets a Kapara Weir by Misa. Only Ide Misa and Tshuva together, on Mechaper, but till then he doesn't get a Kapara. So Agmar is being Mechadish that there's one exception, L'chara. There's one exception. A person who does Tshuva and is Makbid on being Shemir Shabbos, that combination will get him a Mechila even in his lifetime, even before Misa. Amar Vidam Rav, El Mali Shabbos Shreina. If Klai Yisrael had kept the first Shabbos properly, no language, no nation would be able to have any power over them. It says on the seventh day, some of the nation went out to gather from the man. Some of them put out a man, of course, didn't fall really, but some of the dust of Avirim went out and saved up some of the old man and put it out that day. It says right afterwards, Amalek came and tormented Klai Yisrael. If not for the fact that they went out and didn't keep Shabbos properly, had they all stayed indoors and kept Shabbos properly and not gone out to gather on Shabbos, the Klai Yisrael would have been protected from their enemies forever. This is famous. If Klai Yisrael would keep two Shabbos, right away they would be redeemed. What does it mean two Shabbos? So actually, what's the significance of two Shabbos? So one of the freshmen, I think it was called the Ber Yosef, he says it doesn't mean literally two Shabbos. It means Shamar Zachar V'Shamar. If you keep two elements, two Ateres Dibros, we have in the Ateres Dibros, in the Aseret HaDibros written in Veschanan, as opposed to in Yisroi, it says Zachar and Shamar. So if he keeps both elements, Zachar and Shamar, then Klai Yisrael keeps both elements, then there'll be Zeicha to Gula right away. That's some learn. Others learn, no, it means specifically to Shabbos. It means because you really have to have a full week, a full proper week. And the only way to have a full proper week is to have a Shabbos before and a Shabbos after. That's like you have a full proper week. Okay, different Peshatim, what they give to Shabbos is, but what's the source? Like it says, Masa Kayam Hashem, Masa Risa, Masha Yishmu, Shabbos Sai. I'll bring you the Harkachi as if you keep Shabbos Sire, which is plural of Shabbos. If you keep my Shabbos then I'll bring you to Harkachi. So if a person keeps two Shabbos, if Klai keeps two Shabbos, they'll be Zeicha to be Nigel right away. Amar Beisi, Yechelki, Meichli Shal Shudas, my Chelik should be from those that Shal Shudas Shabbos, those are the three students of Shabbos. I should be from those people. Amar Beisi, Yechelki, Megarmi, Halab Chayam. Also, once we're on to this topic, we're going to get through a whole bunch of milas of having a chilek for people to do special things. Now, Tosfos in the beginning of Becharis, I think it is. Tosfos says whenever it says lashon tiyan, the Tosfos in Becharis taf beis and beis. Whenever it says yehi chelki or tasi li, it's coming to me. I deserve a schar for doing something that typically means the person is doing something which is a chumra. He's doing something lefnuv shur sadin or a chumra. Here we're clearly not talking about a chumra. We're talking about a mitzvah, a chiyuv of shalashudas. So Tosfos' other agdara is that people you mark use a shpach even if something is not mamish even if it is a chumra. It's not lefnuv shur sadin. It's not something extra special. It's regular din. But if the hamayin am is not keeping it, Ham and Ham is not being makben, then also this lashon applies. So apparently, at least in days of Rebasi, and we know till today even, there's a certain laxity, unfortunately, when it comes to Shalashudas, there's a certain laxity, and the first one to try to discuss why maybe that is, but the bottom line is, Kulam Aleplegi, there's absolutely a chiyiv, the Rishonim will discuss, there absolutely is a chiyiv of Shalashudas. So when there's a place of laxity, also you can apply this lashon of Yechelki, my chilik should be amongst those that Makayim this evil Samafim Bishusin, it's Ikra Lacha, but since many people weren't doing it, Yechelki, I should be amongst those. And I should get the schar of those that keep shal shudas. Another idea, my portion should be amongst those that finish hal every day. Any says, is that so? Is that a mile of a mamar? One who reads hal every day is machar v'gadav. He's actually blaspheming against Hashem. The idea is that Rashi explains that halal was said on specific times. At specific times that there was a nace happened. You're going to say hal every day. You're just making a regular sing song. You're taking away the beauty of halal. And the question is, why is it machar v'gadav? So the Achrayim explain, the Meshachachma, they want to elaborate and say further that the whole idea is to point out that by having regular days of nature and then having halal on days where there's supernatural, when there's nisim, so you're really pointing out to the fact that even nature is really a nace and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who performs the supernatural as well. And by having this distinction, we're able to be makir that really cool everything that goes on is orchestrated by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once you see halal every day, it takes away that element of recognition that the nisim come from Hashem and as does Teva comes from Hashem. And once you lose recognition, it's mechav from Agada if you're losing recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shlita over the veil. That is the idea of Mechayev Gadav. But so the Gemara is bothered. Why is there basically saying I should be Mechayev from those that say halal every day? It's a negative, not a positive. Answer the Gemara. Kikar, meaning, it didn't mean halal every day, halal of halal gadol, that we say the halal, right, that we say after Shemar Esrei. We means the halal of Pesuk de Zimra, Halukas. I'm a chelik should be from those that say halal every day, that say Pesuk de Zimra beautifully every day. That should be my chelik. Omar Beisi, Yechelkim Mespalim, Dumichama, my chelik should be from amongst those that daven Vasikin, that daven Dumichama, that's the virtue, the beauty of daven Vasikin. Omar Abchibra, Abba, my Mechelim, Mitzvah Spalim, Dumichama, Saka Mitzvah daven, with the literal means the redness of the sun. Omar Abzeira, Mikra, Yeruchim, Shemesh, they should see you, they should see you or fear you in the morning with the shining of the sun, right? As the moon leaves and the sun shines, that's the ultimate time of fear. One should daven. Daven, that's the most opportune time to fear Hashem, to daven Shemar Esrei at the time of Vasikin. Remember Beisi, Mechelki Memesei Chaylim Ayim, my Chelik should be amongst those that die from stomach illness. I should die from stomach illness. Damamar, Ruben Shasadikim, most of Sadikim, Mesei Chaylim, they die from stomach intestinal illness. Rashi explains because it's very painful, and that cleanses them from all Averis. Whatever Averis they have, whatever retribution they need for this world, they get cleansed by dying through Chaylim Ayim. Rashi knows top tastes. Taste Argon says no, taste is different shot. He says that it's a person who dies, the rebrings. Someone dies from a chilim ayim, from a sickness of the stomach, so his stomach gets cleared out before he dies, and then he mamash dies like a malchashar. His body is fully clean, fully ready to be pure and empty from like physical and to go up to shemayim like a malchashar. That's the benefit of dying from a. With a stomach ailment. From our Beisi, Yechelkim Mesei Derech Mitzvah, Mechelik should be amongst those that die while doing a mitzvah. V'amar Beisi, our Beisi says, Yechelkim Machnisei Shabbos B'Tveria, Mechelik Shabbos B'Tveria. Mechelik should be amongst those that take in Shabbos, like the times they take it in Tveria, they used to take in Shabbos early, and then those who Mechelik Shabbos B'Tveria, the idea is they lived in areas where it was very hard to tell from the shadows. They lived in either high areas or recessed areas in the valleys. Hard to tell from the shadows exactly when the sun set and when the sun was setting. So in Tveria, they would take on Shabbos early. In Tveria, they keep Shabbos late. My chilek should be like those people that take on Shabbos early and late. Early and late. medrash, flama midi base medrash. Mechanic should be from those. There were different people appointed to either get the talmidim to sit down and learn, and then there are people appointed to go get them to go get up and go eat their meals, go tend to their physical activities to leave the base medrash. I should be for the ones that sit them down to learn, not for the ones that set them up on their feet to leave to go take care of things that have to be done, but outside of learning. There used to be gabayim stucka. They used to collect stucka from the people, and then there was two people, and then there was a group of three people like a bezdin that would distribute the money. They would decide how much each was supposed to get. He says, if I'm going to have a chelik, let my chelik be from those that collect the money, which is more. There's less bias involved, as opposed to just, I guess, I'm assuming they collect more like fixed amounts, as opposed to those that decide how much each should get. There may be some bias there, and we may not distribute it properly. I don't want to be from that group. My chelik should be from those that is falsely accused. Someone's falsely accused, and there's nothing there. It's a big schus. A person is falsely accused, and he's quiet, and it's considered a tzar for him, and therefore he gets a kapara. The first point out, of course, not that he should do, if a person does something that leads to that suspicion, that's a problem. But Stamazay, being falsely accused is it's not something that necessarily that normal people would ask for, but going through that matzav and not being and being above it is a huge merit. Amar Papa, Lizi Chashtim Lehavbi. The story happened to me. They chayshim me, and I hadn't done anything. The first bring various stories of where this happened. One was Rav Papa's owed money by a certain woman, a lot of money. When he went to go collect it, she actually strangled her child, put the child under the bed, and asked Rav Papa to sit on the bed while she went to get the money, and then she cried out, "Oh, you killed my child!" in order to distract and create a false narrative that Rav Papa had killed the child. So that could be referring to that story. There was a story where they chayshim me, and nothing about it was true. Amar Basi. Chamish bias balti, I was boil five bias for natati chamish arazim Yisrael. I was boil five bias and I made five cedar trees, five sons in Klaiso. Who are these five trees? Rabbi Shmuel bar Beisi, Rabbi Elazar bar Beisi, Rabbi Chalafta bar Beisi, Rabbi Zilas Bachalei bar Beisi, Rabbi Nachum bar Beisi. These are the five cedar trees that came out of Rabbi Beisi from his five bias. Veik of Ramidas. What about he has a sixth son Nebuch? He has a son named Ramidas. Why is he not part of the cedar trees? Hainiv Ramidas, Hainiv Menachem. Now Menachem also was known as Ramidas. Ramidas, why is it called Ramidas? Shapun of diamond Leveri, because his face resembled a rose. Leveri, the basic mitzvah is Aina Likayim. He had five beasts his whole life. What about the mitzvah of Aina? He's supposed to have mitzvah of Aina at least, right? From Shabbos to Shabbos, he's supposed to, when the wife's mutter, he's supposed to have mitzvah of Aina with his wife. Ela Eimachamish Bias Baalti Vishanisi. We know we spoke it elsewhere in the Gemara, it's more in Erevin. I think in Marnid as well. If a person wants to make sure he has a Ben Zachar, he should have Bia once and have Bia again a second time, in which case the Isha is going to be Mazriya, that's the Lashon over there, first. And when the Isha is Mazriya first, the child that comes out is going to be a Zachar. So he's five times he had Bia and was Chazar Bol right afterwards, which ensured that the child born would be a Zachar. And that's what means five bias. But of course, he had more than five bias in his life. Last Gemara, then we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. Mitzvah. Amar Beisi, Miyamin like Chris Lishti Ishti Lishari Shari. I never call my wife, and my ox. Rather, I revert them in a much more chashuv lashon. El Ishti Beisi, refer to my wife as Beisi. We know famously by Mordechai took Esther Labas. We say as Labias as a house, which is a wife. Lishari Shari Sadi. I call my wife my house, and my ox. I call my ox my field. Amar Beisi, Miyamin Estalki, but Milishli. All my days, I didn't look. You know, let's pause up here. We'll pick up your Mitzvah tomorrow morning. Have a wonderful day.